On June 17, 2012, over 15,000 New Yorkers, including labor, religious, and community groups, took part in a silent march to protest Stop and Frisk. The controversial practice empowers police to stop and search anyone they believe looks suspicious. But critics say it's used to racially profile. Blacks and Latinos make up 90% of the nearly 700,000 stop and frisks that took place in 2011.
What we are against is the NYPD, who has created an unconstitutionally blatant form of discrimination in their effort or their attempt to resolve and prevent crime in our communities.
Leroy Gadson is legal chair of the NAACP's New York branch, a professor of criminal justice at Queensborough Community College, and helped organize the march.
Whenever you have a productive relationship between the police and the community, what will happen, you will have a decrease in crime. We don't have that in Southeast Queens. The average young person, they hate the police.
Also taking part was New York State Senator Eric Adams. A retired NYPD captain, he's long been a leading critic of police policy and helped launch the organization 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement Who Care.
But what the higher ups, particularly Police Commissioner Kelly, has done in New York City, he has told his commanders in rank and file that you're no longer going to use it just to determine if someone is committing a crime or have committed a crime. You're going to use it to gather the names and personal information of as many Black and Hispanics as possible. In essence, that's what they're doing, and that's what makes it wrong.
In response to the growing opposition to Stop and Frisk, the largest union representing New York City Police, the Powerful Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, or PBA, has publicly backed the policy. The union's influence was on display during its endorsement of congressional candidate Elizabeth Crowley in the Democratic primary. Crowley seemed caught off guard when reporters repeatedly questioned her about her position on Stop and Frisk. Then PBA President Patrick Lynch whispered to Crowley, quote, support it as a tool. The embarrassing incident was caught on camera.
The least we could do is have some gratitude and be grateful for the work that they do.
So you do or don't support it as a policy?
Support as a tool.
Can you state your question again?
Well, do you support the just the concept of Stop and Frisk? A lot of, you know, candidates in the city have come out saying
I believe our police officers stop when they suspect that that there is somebody out there that is up to, you know, no good, so to say.
But while the PBA defends Stop and Frisk, even it has clashed with police leadership over the policy's implementation. The PBA declined requests for an interview, but speaking to New York One, its president, Patrick Lynch, said the police department illegally sets quotas for stops and punishes officers who fail to reach them.
The problem is when it's made into a numbers game. With anything, summonses or stop and frisk, if you put a quota or a certain number, it ruins that tool.
For some, the union's failure to end those quotas demonstrates the limits of its power. Others, like State Senator Adams, who is often critical of the union, praises its stance on quotas as a positive development.
To his credit, the president of the PBA, Pat Lynch, realized that this is bad policy for his members. That's the first step to moving towards true reform. Because denial of the bad policy, like the mayor and police commissioner is doing, you can't really move towards reform.
Some civil rights advocates like Darius Charney, a staff attorney with the Center for Constitutional Rights, says the union's stance on quotas does not address the bigger problems with New York law enforcement.
I mean, I think quotas is definitely a big part of it. It's by no means the entire source of the problem.
Charney, who is representing plaintiffs in a class action lawsuit against Stop and Frisk, says the police department needs a strong oversight body.
When you combine this huge incentive to just do stops at all costs with the fact that there's no consequences if you do them illegally, it really creates a recipe for, you know, widespread violations of constitutional rights. And so, you know, the accountability piece is something that the union, I think, is not going to get behind.
Critics like Charney also say Stop and Frisk have resulted in skyrocketing numbers of drug arrests. Although possessing a small amount of marijuana out of public view is a non-jailable offense in New York, once an officer stops, frisks, and asks someone to empty their pockets, and marijuana comes out, it's classified as in public view. In 2011, more than 50,000 mostly Black and Latino New Yorkers were arrested for possession. The racial disparity of such arrests in New York and across the country is one reason retired police detective Howard Wooldridge became a leading advocate for the decriminalization of marijuana. Now a lobbyist with the group Citizens Opposing Prohibition, Wooldridge says his main opponents in Congress are police and prison guard unions.
That's been my primary opposition here in Washington, the law enforcement lobby.
Wooldridge argues his former union, the Fraternal Order of Police, opposes legalization because it would result in budget cuts to law enforcement.
If we ended this drug prohibition, tens of thousands of FOP members would be laid off. Certainly tens of thousands would lose lots of the overtime that they make chasing a green plant, et cetera, provided either by the federal government or state governments for special narcotics units, et cetera.
Wooldridge says lobbyists for unions pressure politicians into supporting their positions.
They go into a congressman's office and simply say, you need to support this House bill, this Senate bill that gives us money and keeps the mandatory minimums going, et cetera. And if you don't, we will tell the people back in your district, back in your state, you're soft on drugs, soft on crimes, and help you get defeated in the upcoming election.
We say no to Eugene Crow.
In New York, retired NYPD detective Carlton Berkeley says the ongoing war on drugs and the lack of accountability for police are taking a heavy toll on communities of color like the Bronx.
If it was legalized, a small amount, I would believe most of the people that are carrying it, right, wouldn't run from the police, wouldn't try to fight the police, and maybe we can prevent these homicides, unnecessary and unjustified homicides, as in Ramali Graham's case.
Ramali Graham was an 18-year-old African-American teenager who in February 2012 was shot dead in his own home by a member of the NYPD's Street Narcotics Enforcement Unit. Police say they believed Graham had a gun. No weapon was found, but police said they did find a bag of marijuana.
We don't like the racist. I said no racist.
Berkeley, a close friend of the Graham family and a member of 100 Blacks and Law Enforcement Who Care, says the unit responsible for Graham's death violated numerous protocols, including unlawfully entering his house prior to his killing.
Justice for Ramali!
Yeah, Richard Hayes!
Justice for Ramali!
The PBA, as they routinely do, strongly defended Richard Hayes, the officer who pled not guilty to manslaughter for killing Graham. Berkeley says this is part of the problem.
Cops can just do whatever they want because they say, you know what, my union is gonna back me.
The city's police unions have long opposed or blocked efforts to increase police accountability. But after the police department was rocked by a series of scandals, the PBA's best efforts could not prevent passage of a new agreement empowering independent prosecutors to investigate police misconduct. But critics credit union lobbying with helping to water down the reforms and say they won't address the systemic racism within the police department.
You know, right now, the community feels it's a losing battle every time a situation like this happens, every time. And you know what? I feel the same way. And I'm a retired 20-year veteran. And I know for a fact that if the PBA, the DEA, SBA, these are all unions within NYPD because they're very strong, they're very powerful. You know, they lobby for everything that they want because they have a lot of money and they have a lot of influence.
Independent police oversight, electing a new mayor in 2013, and challenging stop and frisk in court are some of the parallel strategies grassroots groups are taking in New York City. There's agreement on one thing. It will take a true mass movement to make the NYPD and their union accountable to those they are sworn to protect and serve. For Making Contact, I'm Jessel Noor.